Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
I am of the mindset that when it's crunch time and I need somebody to deliver a basket, to be money, to find a way to make something happen, I'm looking at Kyrie Irving. I've seen Kawhi Leonard. I know how big time he is. I know what a superstar talent he is. I know what an NBA Finals MVP he is. I'm talking about when you need a bucket. When you need a bucket. I just think Kyrie Irving is built for these moments. I really, really, really believe he's built for these moments. He lives for it. And he's just that special kind of dude.
That is Stephen A. No mistake in his voice, talking about Kyrie, the 37 performance on Wednesday night, backed up by a more well-rounded effort, particularly in the fourth quarter. Two key assists to Al Horford, 19, 10, and 5 for Kyrie. Do you agree with Stephen A. that he is built to be the guy who's going to carry the Celtics to playoff glory?
Yeah, I think that he's certainly capable. He's got the right mindset. He's got all the physical tools. And when you go back to the lone championship that the Cavaliers won with he and LeBron James, it was Kyrie that came up large. He was the one that hit the biggest
shots. Yep.
And he was unafraid to take those shots. I think that goes a long way. Being a willing shooter. You know, there's a lot of superstars in the NBA, and that was the big knock on LeBron James through his first 10 years in the league. He was much more of a willing passer in those moments than a willing shooter. Eventually, he morphed into a willing shooter. Kyrie's always had that mentality, and that certainly helps. You know, it certainly helps. Just having the stones to take those shots. If you take enough of them, they're going to go in.
Right, but his offensive game is complete. You want to slash? Kyrie's your man. You want to take a three-pointer from well outside the arc? Kyrie's your man. You want to pass off a double team? We saw it last night. Kyrie's your man. But there's still something, and we talked about it last hour, there's still something intangible missing to me. I'm not quite sure what it is, because even though Kyrie hit that big shot in Game 7 in Oakland to win the Cavaliers championship, it was still LeBron's team.
Of course.
And we know this is Kyrie's team now, but as we said, and we don't, you know, what are his chances? What are the chances that Kyrie comes back to Boston?
Again, you know, I think it's at least 75-80% that he comes back. When you go back and you listen to the things that he said coming into his time, his tenure with Boston, he said he wanted his own team. He wanted a chance to win. He wanted stability. All the things that he said he wanted, the Celtics can offer him on top of offering him an extra year and about $70 million more than anybody else. So I feel like Kyrie is one of these guys where he's going to say what's on his mind. And if we all did that in life, people would have much different opinions of who we are.
They made a movie about that called Liar Liar with Jim Carrey about 20 years ago.
That's right. And you know what? It's true. I mean, if somebody could tap into my mind and I had the I was stupid enough to say what was on my mind at all times, my marriage would be over. I certainly wouldn't have a job any longer. My kids wouldn't love me. Like, there's all, you know what I mean? So, and that's what Kyrie does. He's been emboldened, been empowered to sort of be the guy that says what he wants to say when he wants to say it, because let's face it, these guys, the superstars in the NBA, there are no consequences for them. So they can say what they want to say. And people like Stephen A., they're going to make excuses for Kyrie Irving's sort of behavior when he goes off on these little tangents and he treats the media with disrespect. And, you know, he's been so hot and cold, so up and down. But I even said it on my show this week. I said that, let's say hypothetically the Celtics lost in the first round to the Pacers. I still think he's coming back. One of the hottest takes out there is that the Celtics have to, at a minimum, get to the conference finals and put up a good fight for Kyrie to want to come back.
I hear that everywhere.
I don't buy that at all, because if the Celtics were to lose right now, Kyrie can't make a decision until July 1st.
Right.
That's 2 months away. A lot can happen over the course of 2 months, but most importantly, the emotional sort of pain, the emotional hurt of losing the first round goes away. So it's not like he can make an emotional decision and go sign somewhere else. If it were a week's difference in time between the time that the Celtics lose in April and the time that Kyrie makes his decision, I think that drastically would increase the likelihood that he leaves because of the pure frustration that he feels. But 2 months away can do a lot of good in that regard.
Well, let's get inside the brain. I know this is a futile gesture of Kyrie. For what reasons would he stay? Say they get to the finals and lose to Golden State, which I think is not unreasonable. I don't think it's improbable they can find a way to get by Milwaukee. I think they can get by Milwaukee. Toronto may be a different proposition. I still think they can do it without the home court. Say he gets in the finals and they lose gallantly to Golden State. And by the way, what team has always had... No, you're looking at me. Oh, don't buy that.
No. The Celtics, yeah. They match up well with Golden
regular
State.
Regular season, I understand.
They do. It's regular season. Yeah. They actually match up very well with Golden State. It's the path to getting to Golden State that scares me a little bit.
So you think... If once they meet up with Golden State,
they can compete.
They can compete.
Yeah,
can,
they'll have a harder time with Toronto.
Toronto's the tough team. I mean, they got blasted. Their last trip up to Toronto, they got blasted. That was an embarrassment.
And Toronto's, they were a great team, and they got better. And when you add Marc Gasol and add Jeremy Lin, these are quality NBA players that would start for a handful of teams in the NBA, and they're just depth pieces for Toronto right now.
Although Toronto did lose game number one, they got their wake-up call probably.
Yeah.
They won, but they didn't dominate last night.
Nope, they didn't. Nope. But again, Toronto, to me, this matchup-wise, for the same reason I feel decent about the Celtics.
Orlando's a tough matchup for them?
They are, because they're lean, they're young, they're athletic, and they're just stupid enough not to care.
Right.
There's no expectations for them, and those teams are generally somewhat dangerous. Right. You go back to the first year that Isaiah Thomas was here. The Celtics squeaked in with 40 wins. They played very well after IT got here. Mike Gorman went on the air and he picked the 8-seeded Celtics to beat the number one seed Cleveland Cavaliers. That's kind of like what Orlando is right now. They're a team that's happy to be there. They just got in, but they've got some decent talent on that team, and there's no expectations for them, so they get to play free and loose.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Celtics, you were involved in a little controversial, little maelstrom of controversy this weekend. Apparently... you came on extolling the virtues, the many virtues of the Boston Celtics, and a certain member of our air staff took exception to that?
Well, there were two incidents. There was the one with Jerry Callahan,
right?
And then there was the one with Ordway. The one with Ordway was much more of a philosophical sort of issue that he and I had with each other. And the one with Callahan was simply, you know, after the Celtics won game two to take a 2-0 lead, he hops on Twitter and his immediate and instant reaction is that the Pacers are pathetic. See, the Pacers aren't a very good basketball team offensively, but they're the number one defensive team in the NBA. So they can't be number one defensively, which is 50% of the game, and still be pathetic.
But I'm being in a rare position of just devil's advocate, defending a position of Jerry Callahan. In sports, I can defend some of his positions. Other areas, maybe not so much. you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When I watch the Indiana Pacers play, I invoke my Butch the Sundance comment, one of the great movies of all time, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, great refrain, who are those guys? That's what I say when I see the Pacers. I don't care what kind of defense they play. I think the average NBA viewer, when they see the Pacers, say, who are those guys?
You mean you don't have a Bogdan Bogdanovich poster in your house right now? You
know? Now, he's a nice little player.
He is.
But
he's not a number one. He's not even a number two.
No.
And when you look at this Pacers team in particular, let's say that you could add Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, and that was your surrounding cast. That's the type of team you want to build in the NBA.
Sure.
They don't have that guy right now. And Oladipo, he's a very good player. He's borderline a great player, but he's a fringe all-star. So even when they get him back, he's not going to be the guy that carries them all by himself offensively. But they're a Nate McMillan-led team. They're a team that makes you uncomfortable on the court. That's their job. That's how they continue to get wins after Oladipo went down. They want to fight you. They want to play bully ball. And they want to bruise you in the paint. That's exactly what they did against the Celtics. The Celtics all season long have been a front-running, dare I call them, soft bunch. They don't like to be challenged. And generally, when they've been challenged in the regular season, they've cowered. So that's where the Pacers' real advantage was. They wanted to physically try and impose their will on the Celtics. The Celtics have simply had too much offensive firepower to allow them to impose their will.
The way I look at the Pacers, they're a bunch of journeymen. Six of them are about to become free agents. They're just going to be moving on to another team. They've played for other teams. I mean, it's a collection of players that have been around for a long time.
2013 Red Sox?
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah. But 2013 Red Sox, I think they didn't they win the World Series?
I think they did. Yeah. But therein lies the difference between baseball and basketball. Yeah. They don't have that guy. But they are a bunch of journeyman players. Right. And when you look at when they lost their best player when Oladipo went down. The guy they brought in to replace him, Wes Matthews, he was cut by two teams.
Yeah, how many teams has he been on?
It's crazy. Right. He's been around for 10 years, cut by two teams, and that's the story of everybody up and down that roster.
Exactly.
But they were still the number one defensive team in the NBA. And one of the things we like to talk about when we analyze basketball is that defense is an effort sort of number. It's an effort statistic. And the Pacers give 100% effort each and every night. That's how they give themselves opportunities to win. I never suspected the Celtics would lose this series. I picked them in five. It looks like they might sweep the series. But the overall point is still the same. If your number one take after watching the Celtics win two games in a row, where for the first time all season long, they played lockdown, great defense for 48 consecutive minutes in back-to-back games. They haven't done that this year.
That is impressive. You have to say that.
And now it's three straight games. Right. They played great defense. That was the hallmark of a Brad Stevens-led team in years past. This year, the number one knock on this team has been they're unlikable, they're front-running, their ratings are down for these reasons. Well, they got back to the core of what made Brad's teams dangerous when they didn't have Kyrie Irving. They got back to playing great defense and playing great effort basketball, first to the 50-50 balls. You've got Kyrie Irving literally giving his body up, playing incredible defense. You never thought you'd see that. A guy like Marcus Morris, who just loves to jack up shots, running full speed and diving towards 50-50 balls. When those guys are buying in and playing that kind of defense, it's contagious to everybody. So again, you can call the Pacers pathetic if you're Jerry Callahan, but if that's the first thing that comes to your mind after watching the Celtics pull away these victories, that says a lot more about Callahan than it does about the Celtics.
I also think the general perception, I mean, you are very much immersed into the Celtics. I think you know the Celtics in and out. Even if you work here full time, even if you're just a big sports fan in Boston, you still have your doubts because you don't have the home court against Milwaukee. You don't have it against Toronto. You probably wouldn't have it in the finals. Now, what is their record vis-a-vis, say, the Rockets got in? The Rockets have 49-50. How many wins do they have?
The Rockets have got roughly around, they came out,
they struggled, the same time, right?
They struggled to start the season.
Yeah.
Remember, they had Carmelo Anthony,
they
got to a slow start.
Yeah.
But they got hot the second half of the year. But it's going to be Golden State. It is. I mean, it's all but determined.
Boogie doesn't mean anything, the injury?
No. I mean, think about that team. They won 73 before Kevin Durant got there.
I know. I was trying to tell my son that. You know what? They actually won a couple of championships before Durant was there, and they probably should have won in third. They blew that one against the Cavaliers.
They did. Yeah. They were up 3-1 in that series.
Right.
So,
they
had another opportunity there. They went from 73 wins without Durant. I believe they had 57 this year. So regular season basketball didn't mean that much to them, and people are taking that and overanalyzing it. The team is bored in the regular season, but they've got the ability to turn it on. They're one of those teams that has got the ability to flip that proverbial switch that we hear so much about.
The one that Kyrie's talking about.
And again, I'm yet to make the declaration that the Celtics have, in fact, flipped that switch because of the opponent in this series. I would like to believe that they have. We'll find out real soon. It's only going to take a game in the Milwaukee series to figure out if this Celtics team is actually for real or if they're just looking good against lesser competition.
All right, so Callahan's all upset at you. Ordway was taking some shots as well. I mean, they're all after you.
They are.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing what we do here when nobody's listening after midnight.
You have this little show at night,
That's
who
it.
Knows? But apparently Ordway and Callahan taking major umbrage.
They are.
Did you say to get in trouble with Ordway?
All I said was that
it doesn't take much, I know.
It doesn't. And he can take anything and spin it his way. He's the master at that.
Yeah.
But
that's not what I said.
Nobody sits the fence better than Glenn Ordway. And for a man of his girth to be able to sit a fence that well for 20 years, good for him. And incredible balance, Glenn.
But, very strong fence.
Exactly. Very strong. A lot of cement in there. So my whole thing with the Celtics is if they take a step, well, they've taken a step back in the regular season this year. So when you look at the tenure of Brad Stevens, each and every year, he's had more wins than the previous year. 25 to 40 to 48 to 55. This year, 49. So you've taken your regular season step back. If the Celtics were to lose to Milwaukee in round two, now you've taken a step back in the postseason after two consecutive years of going to the conference finals. Finally, if they lose Kyrie Irving, if he walks away and signs with the Knicks or goes to L.A. for nothing, now you've lost your premier top 10 player and you got nothing back in return for him. Any one of those offenses could be a fireable offense to another general manager in the NBA. But here in Boston, where it's very possible that all three of those things could come to fruition, Danny Ainge doesn't fear for his job. Brad Stevens doesn't fear for his job. Now, I'm not advocating the firing of Danny Ainge right now, but what I am saying is maybe Wick and Steve Pagliuca should tone down the rhetoric when they're doing radio or giving newspaper interviews where they talk about these guys as Arbackian and really talk about wanting them here for the next 20 years doing what they do. I feel like a little bit of healthy fear for your job goes a long way. Danny Ainge should be very uncomfortable when it comes to his position with the Celtics and really his future with the Celtics if all three of those things were to happen. He needs to do better in that regard. Because taking a step back in the regular season, a step back in the playoffs, and then losing your best player. And by the way, if Kyrie goes somewhere else, people have this idea that you can take his money and allocate it elsewhere. You can't. This team is over the cap.
Yeah, I've made the case, and especially this year, with the too many cooks spoiling the broth syndrome, where you have just too many players and there's too many guys that want to play.
Yep.
You have 10 to 12 guys that legitimately want playing time. They want minutes, okay? And I think Danny has given Brad a team that is difficult to coach. And, I mean, you can is a general manager's job just to accumulate as much talent as he possibly can or put the right rotation together?
There's a lot to be said for that right there. And, you know, I feel like what you just said, we can actually, there's evidence behind it. Because when you look at the Celtics throughout the regular season, they played their best basketball on nights where Jason Tatum was out, Jaylen Brown was out, Gordon Hayward was out. And right now, Marcus Smart's minutes are up for grabs elsewhere. So what's going to happen if the Celtics are still playing when he comes back and they're at full strength? Is there a possibility that the team goes into turmoil a little bit when other guys aren't getting the minutes that they've been getting through the first couple of rounds?
But, again, I've been using the word perception throughout this show, but the perception is, in Boston and certainly outside, Danny Ainge is a great general manager. I mean, the hosannas that are thrown toward Danny Ainge are nationwide. Same with Brad Stevens. Both are highly respected, and they seem almost impervious to any kind of firing.
And again, that's my problem there, is a little bit of healthy fear goes a long way. Stop declaring that they have jobs for life when you're out in public.
Right. Yeah,
because when you feel comfortable in your job, that's when you sort of get a little bit lazy.
All right, so what happens eventually, and you know, there was a lot of pushback on OMF yesterday. And they were ridiculing your notion that Danny could possibly someday lose his job, or Brad Stevens, heaven forbid, might be removed. Isn't basically that's what happens to most coaches? You're hired to be fired. What do they have to do? Do they have to win a championship?
Well,
you think so?
We like to say here that all we care about is championships in Boston.
Right.
Danny's won one in 18 years. So at what point here do we hold him accountable and say, okay, you've had nearly two decades. You've won one championship. You got to get us one more. That's the problem here is, you know, on one hand, we make excuses for Danny Ainge, and Glenn does because of their personal relationship. They're friends, and Glenn was calling games when Danny was playing. Their relationship goes back 30-plus years. So for Glenn to be objective when it comes to critiquing Danny Ainge's job is a near impossibility.
You hear that, Ordway? You cannot be objective. I don't care what you claim. I love it.
I mean, I grew up listening to Glenn and Jerry Seastick.
I grew up listening. Boy, Glenn has been around forever, hasn't he?
Even
I have.
Yes, and maybe next year he should join his daughter and do the marathon together.
That would be an interesting.
Just
there's a visual I can't quite wrap my head around. Glenn in marathon shorts. So meanwhile, apparently, a lot of conspiracy theories surrounding your travels back from work the other night. Apparently, you were on your way home, was this it, or on your way in?
I was on my way in.
In from New Hampshire.
From New Hampshire.
Right.
I was just about here.
Right.
And I was in, I got a little summer car, a little convertible that, you know, whatever. And I'm in the car, and there's a big Tahoe right next to me. And he doesn't see me. I'm in his blind spot. And he's coming and coming and coming. And eventually, I'm laying on my horn. I realize he's going to hit me. So I swerve off. And eventually, when I swerve off, I hit the guardrail, I hit the curb, and I blew out two of my tires. Not one, but two. I was able to roll the car into the station parking lot. It happened right here.
Right. And Callahan and Nor Ordway were seen anywhere in that area.
It's possible that you know, Jerry sent one of his minions after me.
And he's got many.
He does. That's what I hear. Right. The whole Republican Party, as a matter of fact, is coming after me. It's fine. Actually, a listener heard my peril, my story of peril on the air. And he came and he saved me. So he owns a great little shop in Ipswich, Massachusetts. His name is George, and you guys should go check him out. He's awesome. He came here, he mounted two new tires on my car, and took care of me while I was doing my show.
So those spray cans that allegedly pump up tires didn't work for you?
I didn't even try them, because when I had an opportunity to go look at it, these tires, I mean, they were shredded. You could put your fist inside the holes. The spray cans are great, though. If you run over a nail or a screw when you have a slow leak, those spray cans work. But when you shred your tires the way I did, no chance.
All right, so we've got that figured out. It's Patrick Gilroy in for Larry Johnson. Larry will be back, we believe, next week. Let's get some phone calls at 617-779-7937. That's the telephone number. Tariq is in Boston, and he is next on Sports Radio. Hello, Tariq.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, what's happening?
I I started to, because you guys were talking about Kyrie and his commitment issues and whether or not that's changed, 80%, whether or not he comes back. But I want to go back to what you guys were just talking about with Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
You understand that Kyrie was not in the original plan. You do understand that, right? That this is, he's playing with house money with Kyrie. The original plan was to get Gordon Hayward here and build around him. Kyrie fell out of the sky for Danny Ainge, and he had to react. It would have been pointless to have all of those assets and not jump at an opportunity. So I'm pretty sure that Wick and the guys that would have the ability to fire him were on board that, hey, we don't know if this guy wants, he just wanted to be out of Cleveland. We're not absolutely sure where he wants to be, but this is, like AD, this is a chance we have to take. We have to try and see if we can get him in the fold.
Tarik, so, isn't it Danny Ainge's responsibility, though, when it comes to having a good idea of what Kyrie's intentions are? When you just brought up New Orleans and Anthony Davis. They know that AD wants out. They know he wants to leave. So they're going to trade him and get something back in return for him. My issue isn't with Kyrie's potential decision to go. I understand they're playing with house money and he fell from the sky. And good on Danny Ainge to have the assets when that opportunity was available to go grab that guy. That's what makes Danny Ainge great at what he does. However, I feel like Danny should have a better idea of what Kyrie's intentions are. And here we go into the offseason. There's a possibility.
Second point. Now thank you for walking into my second point. Kyrie is playing. We always compare Kyrie to LeBron, right? And that their mentalities are similar. How they would construct a team, how they think that they should be able to operate within that team are similar. We've been comparing him all year to his detriment. But he's also looking at the albatross. If Gordon Hayward's not right, he's an albatross. Why would I sign here for 4 years if I have an albatross making $30 million? Why? Why? Explain that.
So you think Gordon Hayward could be the reason why Kyrie decides to go elsewhere?
He likes Gordon, so he's not going to say that. He wants Gordon to succeed, so he's not going to even imply.
Has Gordon Hayward's improved play over the last 3 weeks of the season?
Oh my God! And guess what has changed? The rhetoric coming out of Kyrie's mouth.
So that's what I'm asking you. Do you think that Gordon Hayward's improved play increases the likelihood that Kyrie sticks around?
Yes, that is my point. That's why he said wait till July, because by then he would have a full assessment of how this team looks in the playoffs. Losing to Milwaukee. I don't think that does anything to Kyrie. Gordon Hayward playing well, because that's the guy that's here. Al Horford's not here for 4 years, 3 years. Nobody else is here for 3 years that has an albatross contract but him. So if you're going to pay Kyrie and you're going to pay him, that means if Gordon Hayward's not right, you can't go get anybody else. You just said they're over the cap.
But you can. Hold on, Tarik, you talked about Danny Ainge's plan, right? I'll let you finish, but you talked about his plan. His plan has also been to groom Jaylen Brown and groom Jason Tatum and groom the young guys like they did with Al Jefferson, increase their worth around the NBA, and then flip them. You don't need cap space to flip those guys to go get Anthony Davis or a sign and trade with Kevin Durant. Isn't that the most important secondary piece?
In the 18 years that you talked about him only winning one championship, you know Danny Ainge is fighting something that no other GMs have been fighting. They're fighting a ghost of this city's treatment of its star players for basketball that happen to be African-American. Whether it's true or not, it is the reality of the way that they talk outside of Boston about coming here. Ask Kevin Garnett. So he had to hear it from people that are here that it was different, or actually coming here and seeing that it's different. And then you say, you know what? These people are crazy for talking like that. It's not like that out here. And then they can recruit and bring guys in like Isaiah Thomas did and like Kyrie had been doing. So what I'm saying is Danny has been fighting an uphill battle with free agents didn't want to come here for, I don't know, 20 years?
Do you still think that's the reality in 2019?
That is in the room. It doesn't mean it's the overlying factor. But when you take a crap on Bill Russell's bed, I'm sorry, bro, that doesn't sit well with guys that are historians of the game.
No, I understand that, Tarik. And, you know, it's funny because he bring that up. I'm not discounting it at all because I think it's always kind of wafting in there somewhere. But it hasn't really been an issue in connection with Kyrie.
It hasn't.
No.
And the one time the Celtics had enough cap space to go get a premier free agent, they were able to get that premier free agent in Al Horford.
Right. It's Patrick Gilmore in for Larry Johnson. It's Craig Mustard here on this Saturday morning. Mark James at 11. More of your telephone calls coming up at 617-779-7937. A lot of Celtics talk. A little bit of Bruins on the table as well. We haven't got into the Red Sox. Dana Barros this hour, too. We'll get his take on what happened over the last three games for the Celts in the postseason. all coming up right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Mustard and Johnson, 617-779-7937. We will get to those calls coming up, but first let's check in with former Celtic, former BC great Dana Barros, who is kind enough to join us. Good morning, Dana.
What's good, my man? How's everything?
How's everything going? I took in your very fine facility down in Stoughton. My son was playing in an eighth grade Metro West basketball tournament a couple months ago. Pretty nice digs down there. I like it.
Appreciate it, man. It's home base, and I live up the street, so that's what I do for a living now. You know, I love teaching young kids, so that's what I do for a living, man. I still enjoy it.
And how old is that facility, Dana?
It's just a year old. We opened about January in 2018, and we have five courts and 40 teams and tournaments every weekend, man. So it's a great time. So I appreciate you giving me the plug.
Yeah, a lot of intensity down there. My team lost by one. We couldn't hit the free throws down the stretch, unfortunately. Not able to move beyond round two. So here's my real cool segue here. How will the Celtics... Okay, the Celtics are about to move on to round two. What has your impression been so far of the Green team in these three games against the Pacers?
I mean, we've won a lot of the games, you know, pretty close, and we've seen Kyrie take over at the end, and, you know, the guy is obviously special. I mean, making shots when he's covered or when he's not covered. So it's he's been a pleasure to watch. Obviously, we take a lot of threes, and being someone who shoots threes, you know, a lot and enjoy watching the game that way, there's always going to be ebbs and flows with this team because, you know, when you take in 30, 35 threes a game. But if they're able to shoot 30, 35%, you know, the rest of the playoffs, they're going to be a tough out, definitely. Man, I like the way they look when they're shooting the ball well.
Dana, when you watch this team play right now, are you noticing a bit of a recommitment on the defensive end for the full 48?
Well, definitely. I mean, at playoffs is different, and people always think it's just a cliche, but when you're a player, you sit in that locker room and you know you're on national TV and the finality of everything and, you know, pending free agency and all these different things. There's a lot of things on the line individually from a team standpoint and the owner and organizational standpoint. So from a player, you refocus. Whatever happened in a regular season doesn't matter. You could have the worst regular season of your career and have a great playoffs and get a max deal. You know, that's just the way it works. So there's always a refocus before the playoffs, and I think you see that happening right now with the Celtics, and hopefully it improves as the series goes on in the next series.
Yeah, we're trying to speculate, you know, what's ahead. Obviously, we know what most likely is ahead. Milwaukee's going to take care of business. They're up 2-0. They're playing tonight in Game 3 in Detroit, and then, of course, Toronto probably looming in the next round in the conference finals should the Celtics take care of the Bucks. Do you think that without the home court advantage, the Celtics are capable of taking down those two teams?
Again, I think if they shoot 35% from the three-point line over the course of this series, I think they'll definitely win the series. I think Milwaukee's a different animal. They're going to have to contend with a guy like Kyrie at the end of the game or during the game for 48 minutes, who can get 40 points, 15 rebounds. And so they have one of those guys too. So this is where Indiana does it. You know, this is where Milwaukee will present a problem,
right?
Because they have two or three guys that can, you know, they can give the ball to in the final 2 minutes. So that really is what it's going to come down to me in each one of the next two series, if, you know, hopefully going on to the next two series, will be the last 2 minutes of the game when you have these superstars, you know, having to make shots or make plays.
Yeah, to that point, and I was thinking about this last night just watching Kyrie, and particularly on Wednesday I was at the game, and from a coaching standpoint, you spent some time as a coach. What do you tell your players? How do you shut down? Is it possible to shut down a guy like Kyrie if you played the guard position? What could you do if you were guarding Kyrie to neutralize his offensive game? What would you do?
I don't want to give away secrets or nothing like that, but I would definitely. I mean, back in the days where we used to just double team him, you know, in the backcourt and deny the ball. So when John Stockton, when we played for Seattle, and actually, you know, I played with Nate McMillan for 4 years in Seattle.
Sure.
So he was actually kind of a coach back then to the young, you know, crazy team that we had. But we would just go run and double team John Stockton, you know, something like that in the backcourt. But that we have so much offensive firepower with, you know, with Tatum still out there and Jaylen Brown out there, it's much more difficult to do that. So, you know, I would think Nate would trap pick and rolls. You know, that would be really the only issue other than straight out trapping him when he comes over half court. But with the firepower we have, and again, if we shoot 35% from the three, it's not really going to matter, you know, because if the game is close, you know, you can't really double team like that in the last, you know, 30 seconds to a minute of a game.
So Dana, when you played here in Boston, you played a few years for Rick Pitino. You've seen the success that Brad Stevens another highly regarded college coach. Why is it working with Brad and did not work with Pitino?
Well, I mean, I played 7 years here and it didn't work with a couple of two or three different guys. So I just think that Rick was probably the best coach that I played for. Unbelievable basketball mind, but I just think the communication with the players, you know, coming from a college thing, was different. And I think Rick didn't really understand that aspect of the game. And I think Brad has 100%, you know, understanding of it. When coming from the college level, he gives each player, and talking to the players, talking with Marcus or Terry at events or being on the floor, talking to them, they feel like they have unmitigated freedom, you know. Now, the players will police each other on the floor. You know, if somebody takes five shots in a row, you know, the players are going to police that. But I think Brad's communication and his relationship with the players comes from giving them freedom and then pulling back on the freedom instead of putting them out there with a chain on their ankle and say, you know, don't do this, don't do that. He does it the opposite way.
So he's one of those few college coaches that have actually made the transition to understand that it is not a coach's game at the professional level. It's truly a player's game.
Absolutely. You can have the greatest coach in the world with the best team. If the team doesn't believe in the play, in the coach, or doesn't, right, you know, have the, you know, understand or want to understand the concepts of the coach, you know, it's just not going to happen. If you have five super athletes, that may not work with Phil Jackson in the triangle system, you know what I mean? So it absolutely has to be a relationship-based foundation for a coach. And I believe that, and I believe that's why a guy like Doc Rivers has so much success, you know, with players and players wanting to play for him as Brad does. It's a relationship-based, you know, thing with the coach. That's the foundation of what he is.
One of the things we've sort of been talking about all week here is the performance of Kyrie Irving, how it's been so good on the floor throughout the playoffs here, Dana, but there's still this question, this overwhelming question as to whether he can be truly that number one leader on a championship team. Can he be the guy? And there's been some comparisons to the early days of Paul Pierce. Paul needed Antoine Walker to be the alpha. Then later on, Paul needed Kevin Garnett to be the alpha. Do you think that when you look at Kyrie, that he can be the alpha on a championship team, or could he use the help of somebody that's got that presence of an Antoine or of a Kevin Garnett?
I think all of them could use the help. And his mindset, though, I believe that, and this is just my opinion, I believe that he believes he can do it right now. You know what I mean? So in terms of, you know, trying to figure out what the future holds for him, I believe he's in a space right now where he believes he can do it with the players that he has around him. You know what I mean? And being able to have a certain type of cast, but at the end of the games, understanding who to give the ball to. So, in my opinion, he believes that's here. Now, does that mean he signs here? There's a long, you know, playoffs ahead of us, so anything could happen. But in my opinion, I just don't see where it could be a better situation. You know what I mean? To start over somewhere else, not knowing, you know, who would be drafted. It's to me, I don't see where it could happen. And I believe, in my opinion, it's, you know, it's probably 60, 70, 80%. You know, I just don't see him leaving. I think people have the wrong perception of it, you know, of the situation. And I look forward to having a great long playoffs, which will kind of cement, you know, what he feels about the organization.
I will. Much to be determined between now and then. Dana Peros, thanks for taking a couple minutes and talking Celts.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Dana Peros, former Celtic, of course, and BC star right here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
I believe he's in a space right now where he believes he can do it with the players that he has around him. You know what I mean? And being able to have a certain type of cast, but at the end of the game, understanding who to give the ball to. So in my opinion, he believes that's here. Now, does that mean he signs here? There's a long, you know, playoffs ahead of us, so anything could happen. I believe, in my opinion, it's, you know, it's probably 60, 70, 80%. You know, I just don't see him leaving.
As Dana Peros, former player, now in the marketing department, we should tell you. Of course, he has a vested interest in more ways, emotional and financial.
Sure.
Kyrie staying.
But I thought he was good.
Oh, he's excellent.
Some of these guys, you know, come on and they're just not comfortable.
Dana was fantastic.
He was very comfortable.
Excellent. But, you know, the question I asked him, I don't know if you ever think about this, because I played a lot of organized ball through high school. I'm not claiming I ever played in college or anything else. But I like watching the game, and I put myself in that guard's position or anybody defending Kyrie. Do you overplay him right? Do you force him left? What do you do to shut him down? Is there any possibility that you can actually shut this guy down and just hope he misses his shots?
Back in Dana's day, though, they could hand check. They could be more physical.
Yeah, right.
Right now, Kyrie's ultra dangerous because you can't breathe on these guys.
No, you can't. And he is impossible. And to see him live as I did on Wednesday was a sight to behold. 617-779-7937. Mike, thanks for waiting. You are next on Sports Radio, WEEI. Hello, Mike.
Gilroy, so you believe everything owners tell you? So I guess you believe everything college football coaches tell you, too, and they say they're going to stay at a college, right? Is that what you're telling me?
So when it comes to what Wick has said about Danny Ainge, it's a universal sort of statement from the organization that these guys have essentially a job for life. And again, I don't believe that that Danny Ainge should be fired, Mike. I believe that Danny Ainge should feel a little bit of fear once in a while. When the Celtics fail, he's the general manager, president of basketball operations. There should be some heat there brought upon him for his failures.
So everything said in public is what's said behind closed doors. Is that what you think?
It's not what I think. It's not what I think at all. But again, I've been in and around the Boston Celtics for 19 years. So when I'm talking about what Wick has said, it's not just what he says on the air. He comes on my show twice a year, the start and the end of every season. It's not what he says there.
Hold on.
I also, being at practice and having friends at practice over the years, I know what he says behind closed doors as well. They love the fact that Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations, and I know that they would like to have him there for the next 20 years and look at him as an Auerbachian figure 20 years from now.
And that guy Tyreek that was on earlier, I agree with everything he said. He does have an uphill battle too. But first off, and don't keep saying, oh, he only won one championship. They also they stayed competitive. So don't think, make it like we're like the New York Giants where we either win a Super Bowl or we don't go into any playoffs.
Would you not admit, though, Mike, Danny's a terrific GM on anybody's level, and he did win the championship, but the Jeff Green trade was not one of the feathers in his cap. I think that probably derailed them one of those years. I think they probably won one more had they not traded for Jeff Green. That was a bad move to OKC. Don't you believe that maybe the way this team is currently constructed, there are too many players on this team? And as Patrick was talking about, and other people.
Okay, good. We have too many players. So
right.
Does Golden State have too many players?
But Golden State doesn't, you know, I would say the Celtics are much deeper than Golden State.
They are. The Celtics go 10, 12 deep. Golden State's got more frontline talent than the Celtics do, but they don't go nearly as deep.
When is that ever a bad thing to have
Because if because you, but Mike, in the listen, classic playoffs. You know, Patrick and I, you probably watched a million playoff seasons over the years. I've watched over 50. You get into a rotation. The Celtics, the greatest team the Celtics ever had, was the '86 team. You know how many players they played in the playoffs that year? Want to take a guess?
Seven.
Yeah. Scott Wedman went down. They played seven. Of course, they had Walton playing two positions at the same time, but. Go ahead, Mike.
I remember Larry Bird famously saying, we had to win that game three times. A lot of times when the backups went in, and they went down after they had a big lead.
Right, but I think that the problem with the Celtics, thanks for the call, Mike. I think we're having a little problem with your cell. Problem with the Celtics in the later Bird era, or maybe right around the time, like 87, 88, they didn't have enough strength off the bench. Their starting five was as good as anybody in the NBA. In those years, ironically, they didn't have a real strong reserve.
And they had drafted Reggie Lewis at that point. He just wasn't ready for prime time yet.
Casey got blasted in his in Reggie's first year, which was 87-88, because they lost to Detroit in the conference finals that year. And Casey got blasted for not using Reggie enough, because he really could have helped. That was a very tired Celtic team in 1988. This team has the opposite problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. They have too many guys coming off the bench. And as you pointed out, and it's been pointed out all season long, their best ball is when someone goes down. So my first response was Marcus Smart, fiery competitor. You'd want to have him on the floor, particularly in the playoffs. He's had big moments. My first response was, that's going to make all those other players play much better basketball.
And when we get to the Milwaukee series, there's going to be another player off the bench that gets minutes. Shemi Ojeleye is going to play against the Bucks. Go back to last year's series. The Celtics were having a hard time. They would not have beat the Bucks last year without Shemi's defensive sort of effort against Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's really the best Celtic defender to face him. So now you're bringing another guy that gets no minutes in this series.
Absolutely,
he's going to play 15 minutes a game in the next series.
Well, that was the question. The other question I was going to ask, and I guess it was a little premature to ask, how do you shut down Giannis? And that's going to be an interesting proposition, to say the least. But let's talk to John in Maine, who's next up on Sports Radio WEEI. Hello, John.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Gilroy.
Hey, Johnny.
I agree with a couple of things that last caller was making, but he was a little bit combative. Danny Ainge, as a GM, I feel like, just because he's only brought one championship, the teams that he's put together over the years have been much more successful than maybe if there was somebody else in his place. I feel like he went through the same thing he is going through with Kyrie. With Paul Pierce, there was a lot of talk about him wanting to be traded, being off this team because they weren't a championship team. And Danny Ainge was the guy that convinced him to stay, that he was going to build a team around him. And now that people use the term the big three, and that is because of Danny Ainge. And the way he blew up the team before last season, basically traded away nine players and then still brought back a successful team, I just don't know of any other guy that could do something like that. And Danny did, so
but John, he's done a good job. I don't necessarily think that he should be fired right now, but what I'm saying is when you look at this season as a whole, when you take a step back in the regular season, if they lose to the Bucks, it's a step back in the playoffs, and if you lose Kyrie Irving for nothing, you don't really have your finger on the pulse of what your free agent's going to do. Maybe you should have traded him. That's three mistakes or three step backs in one season. In any other team in the NBA, the general manager will be fearing for his job. Here, Danny Ainge knows he has a job for life. To me, that's just not healthy when you want to get the best out of somebody.
All right. Mike in North Providence, you are up next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, guys. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mike.
It's amazing what happens when they pass the ball to Jaylen Brown.
I thought I was going to hear from you today.
the magnificent possibilities. I mean, I knew there was going to be different right in the first quarter when Kyrie drove to the basket and they came off Jaylen yet again because Kyrie had the ball.
Yeah.
Except he kicked the ball to Jaylen for an open three. And I'm like, uh-oh. Maybe Brad has finally talked to this guy.
Well, the difference was he made his first eight shots, and the only shot he missed was a desperation 24-second clock shot.
He was great.
Yeah.
Listen, you have to have the ball first before you can shoot it. I mean, I think people think that this is the batting order in baseball, and everybody gets their turn, and because something should be happening, it is happening. They were literally doubling off of Brown, right? He's wide open, and they don't pass him the ball. And it's like somehow his fault that, you know, the guy who led the team in three-point shooting since the All-Star break and has been the second-best three-point shooter by percentage since December 1st is not having the ball past him. That's not his fault. It's the person who has the ball and doesn't make the right pass. And he got more integrated in there. And honestly, I'm happy with what's happening here because now he's on full starters minutes in the rotation, and they had, can put that A lineup out there that was supposed to be the starting unit, you know, especially at the end of the game. And that, to me, the two-way look that they were providing, especially in, at the end of the game, that's what this team needs. And honestly, now for the first time, I think, you know what, maybe they can take down Milwaukee.
We'll see.
But you're not at all maybe a little bit cautious about that, given the fact that the Pacers aren't exactly an offensive juggernaut?
No, that has nothing to do with the Pacers being an offensive juggernaut. It's about using your own materials the correct way. People just say they put the cart before the horse. They think that because something should be happening, it is happening. If you watch those previous games, you know, Jaylen Brown is getting 5 shots and 6 shots. He's not turning shots down. He never had the ball to begin with. Even in this game, you see what he's doing? He gets 9. You have to ask yourself, why?
A guy that hot only took 9 shots. Jason, you're right.
Tatum,
yeah.
Jason Tatum, yeah, the previous game, and he had an excellent game, took 20 shots to score 26 points.
Yep.
Jaylen Brown took 9 shots to score 23.
No,
you have to ask yourself, why isn't Jaylen getting 15 in that situation?
And even in all three of these games, despite Jaylen Brown's breakout performance last night, it still feels like Jason Tatum is controlling this game and not Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen was.
I'm fine with. To me, the mentality I have, and I told this to Patrick plenty of times. Kyrie is far and away the best scorer. Jason Tatum is the second best scorer, but in my mind, Brown's the third best scorer, and they should embrace that.
Well, on paper, he should be. Yeah,
everybody else and their brother.
Right.
You know?
No question about it. I think that was the plan at one point. It hasn't really worked till last night. It hadn't really worked out that way.
No, that's not the plan. That's not the plan. They're not going to him. He's not turning shots down. He wasn't doing any of this. So they never went to him to begin with. You have to understand this. He has to have the ball first. What you don't do is allow them to double off of a guy and run no plays for him and then blame the player instead of the coach and the teammates for not doing the right thing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.